I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
We all have issues. Sid, we all have issues. Do I disagree with that? No, I don't. We all have issues. We all have issues. Why? Because we're all freaking humans living in the modern world. I get it. We all have issues. I do. You do. We all do. But I've got to tell you, I'm a little sick of hearing that response as an apology for bad behavior. Well, we all have issues. No, here's the difference. Yes, we do, but not all of us bring it into the workplace, bring it into wherever we are, and make sure that everybody around us has to deal with our issues. That's the difference. It's not ever a good answer when I go, wow, look at that freaking bit. Well, we all have issues. We all have issues. And if you cannot handle your issues such that you bring them and they're on your sleeve at every minute of every day, fix yourself, because you are causing damage in the world. It's subtle sometimes, but it's damage nevertheless. You're causing resentment and you're causing damage. Fix it. How? Use my method. Use somebody else's method. Solve it. Begin the process of solving that, because it's not enough to say the apologetic sort of PC kind of, you know, new age kind of, hey, we all have issues. That's the subtle change of subject that is such a huge pet peeve of mine that I've talked about in this podcast. It sounds like it's the same deal, like same subject. We all have issues. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about whether we all have issues or not. What I'm talking about is how we handle our issues, how we function in light of our issues. That's the subject. It's not that we don't have them or we all have them or not. It's, do we cause damage to the people in our lives because we don't have ourselves in check enough, because we are not strong enough in mind and body to both handle our issues and also make sure that people aren't being damaged by our issues. Okay? I'm just putting it out there. Wow, that's, talk about issues. Sid's got him. He's just pissed. He just came out, guns a-blazing, episode 53. Guns a-blazing episode. You guys, you know I'm all happy. It's not that. I'm not miserable. Might I have had a little bit of a rough day? I may have had a little bit of a rough day. Am I bringing it to the pod? A little bit. So I kind of didn't do much for my issues. I didn't talk about the thing. I'm just saying in general, that's not a good response. I don't want to hear that. Well, we all have issues. It's such a bullshit response. And I hear that multiple. It's like, okay, let's be apologetic for bad behavior. Let's say that's okay because we have... all have issues. I think that's a very, very sad direction. If we're going in that direction to apologize and that nobody can act badly because we all have issues, I think it's a really rough place to go in. It's just saying, it's okay. You can act like a two-year-old whenever you want in the workplace. It's fine. Or wherever else. You can act like a two-year-old. Let's all make sure that we maintain you in that craziness. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like people do it. What? Yeah, that's kind of harsh. Mm. You guys, this is not all a buzzkill episode, by the way. Sometimes I have moments where I go, this is the weirdest podcast. And some people, and I'll put it this way, there's nothing out there like this podcast. And most people go, thank God for that. I mean, that literally is because I can see the numbers. Most people think, thank God there's not more podcasts like this one. But some people are okay with it. And some of those people jumped on Patreon. So thank you to those guys, and thank you who come and listen to this thing in spite of its oddness. I know it's odd. I kind of try to swing it around a little bit just to make sure there's something useful. I'm kidding. I hope you get something out of the damn thing. Can I just, okay. Cooking spray. Again, my podcasting has been a James Joyce novel. I am literally it's just what's coming to mind. Cooking spray. I have issues with cooking spray. See how I did that? I actually don't have issues with cooking spray. What I do, I've been teaching some cooking classes of late, and what we teach and what I teach is cooking spray, like spray oil, is a really good way to totally minimize oil when you need it. You don't need to saute with it at all. You can use veggie broth. But when you're like roasting veggies or something, instead of like dousing all your veggies in oil, which is what most people do, they put it in a bowl and they just guzzle, just drench it. Do a light, like dusting of spray oil. So that's why I'm talking. That's not why I'm talking about. I'm explaining why it's in my conversation right now. So that's why I'm talking about it. Here's the funny part about it. So spray oil. So I talk about how it's such a minimal amount of oil, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, I've never looked at the label. Like, I don't know sort of what the serving size is, how much calories in that serving size. And I did notice that the can we use says like 0 calories. And I'm like, well, how's that possible? Here's the serving size on the cooking spray oil. It's sort of an aerosol can kind of thing. You know, it's like one of those things. And the pumping the olive oil, that's great too. But this is sort of, I need it more industrial because we're cooking class. I can't stand around. I'm going to pump for 4 minutes. Can you guys hang tight? So I have this spray thing. And so it also keeps bugs away. No, I'm joking. And so, so spray oil. Here's the serving size. Are you ready? It's not an amount. It's not a size. It's not a half a teaspoon or an eighth of a teaspoon. It is, wait for it, not a joke, 1/5 of a second spray. The serving size on the cooking spray oil that I use, the serving size is 1/5 of a second. That's how if they set the 1/5 of a second serving size. So in other words, if you spray it for 1/5 of a second, then there's no calories. 1/5, honey, get the stop. I'm using the spray oil. Can you get the stopwatch? Okay, ready, go, stop. Did I get it? Wow, it's a third of a second? Son of a, we're going to die of heart disease. Let me try it again. Go stop. Did I get eighth of a, well, that's not bad. Eighth of a serving size. I was able to get that done. Is that crazy? Yes, it's crazy. It's one of the many ways labels are misleading. Good Lord. Go look at 2% milk. See how they mislead the crap out of that. It's like 40% fat. But it says that just convert everything to calories and then come see me. Okay, convert the fat grams to calories by multiplying the amount of grams by 9 and then use the overall calories and you do the division on that and you tell me what percentage of fat. It ain't 2%. Okay, it's not 2%. Oh man, guns a-blazing today. I don't know what happened. I will tell you that my computer is back and I have to tell you this, my computer broke 3 times in the last 2 years. So that pisses me off. But on the other hand, man, how efficient was Apple? I mean, I got on the phone. I didn't have to wait on hold that long. They answered the call. They sent me a box. I got it the next day. I put my computer in. I FedExed it on a Friday. Got it back Monday evening, fixed 100%. I mean, I thought I squeezed that last podcast in. I thought I may not be able to get back to this for like 10 days or some craziness, right? So I got my computer back and I'm feeling whole again. Okay, I'm feeling whole again. Okay. For whatever reason, over the last 2 weeks, and I don't really know why. I've been a fan of a singer-songwriter named Gordon Downie. His friends call him Gord. I'm not a friend of his. I don't know if I wish I were a friend of his. I don't know. He seems like a nice enough guy. Maybe not. He's not with us anymore, so that may or may not have edged into disrespect. I don't know Gord Downie. Never knew him. Put it that way. But I've been a fan of his for a very long time. He headed up a band called The Tragically Hip. I don't really know that band. And actually, it's funny because I'm just now kind of discovering that band. For some reason, years ago, like 15 years ago, somebody gave me a copy of one of his solo albums. And so I became a huge fan. And I've had, you know, I bought other of his albums solo and just think he's fantastic. And so I found out that he had passed away. And I think in one of my videos, it was the day that I heard it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know. Cause I just, you know, I don't search on people. I was listening to the music and all, but all of a sudden it came up in the news, Gord Downie passed away. I was like, Jiminy Christmas, how old's that guy? 53. So it may be in the last few weeks that I don't really know why this came up. I don't even know, but I was like, I want to listen to Gordon Downie again. It's been a few months. And so I kind of put him in my playlist. And then I was like, oh man, I really miss him. So I started listening to more. And then I was like, has he done any, like, was there any other albums? And I looked that up and I was doing some more reading. Turns out there's a documentary called Long Time Running. It's on Netflix. I thought, well, I'll watch that. A confluence of events leads me to this last like 2 or 3 weeks in a mild obsession. I don't want to say full, but like I'm thinking about Gordon Downie a lot. Is it my age? Maybe. I mean, I'm 50 going on 51. I'm 50 and a half, as the kids say. And so he died at 53, brain cancer. My work, in terms of just my own life. And I don't know, it's just is what I had. My brother-in-law passed away. They're just like, whatever reason that was, I've been in a very Gordon Downey space. I've been listening to basically only Gordon Downey, like in my car, and on the way back to and from work. And I've just kind of been in this melancholy thing for a whole host of reasons. I mean, he's 53 years old. He's got four kids. There's obvious sadness there, on that level, but also just an artist that put amazing stuff into the world and did some really good work, and the like existential unfairness that he loses his life, but there's other people who I would, sorry to say, but prefer they would have lost their lives. Is that mean? That's kind of mean, but I'm just saying, like, there's people who are doing really bad stuff in the world and they're just kind of trucking along. And I just wonder, it's that question that we cannot answer, but, and maybe there's no answer to it, but it's just, it's not a, I think ultimately it's not unfair or fair. It's just what it is. And it's not a, you don't get an added bonus life because you wrote some good songs and did some good work in the community. I wish that were true. I wish that were true, because I would have said, keep that guy, get rid of that guy. But I'm not the judge, and nor should I be. I mean, I could be. I look good in a robe, you know, and I really, back in the day, I would have looked good in one of those wigs because I'm bald, so I would have worn that really well. It wouldn't have sat like on top of my hair. It would have been like really nicely fitting. I bet, in a way, saddened by his death, and it was in 2017. I found out in doing my research, and by research, I mean just looking him up and everything, that he had done an album like as he was within months, like a couple months of dying. He was still recording, did an album. I have that album. I bought it. And knowing he's dying, he's doing this album. He's still working, like, up to the very end. He toured, insisted on touring in this documentary. It's a good documentary. It's not the best documentary I've ever seen, but it had me in tears. My wife's like, what are you watching? I was like, I'm watching this freaking thing. You know, this tour around Canada and the whole country, you know, he's like a part of their country. And it made me miss, as much as I'm, you know, a champion of the individual, I'm always very clear that I'm not anti-community. I'm pro-community. I don't like groups. I don't like divisive, you know, our group's better than your group, my religion's better than your, that I don't dig. But I do like community, a sense of looking out for each other, a sense of group in the way that we don't compare, but we take care of each other in that. And I felt like that's a Canadian reality way more than it is a United States reality. And I'm saddened for that. I wish that it were different. But watching this documentary and seeing him go from town to town and just, you know, his last show was in his hometown, and there's people all over the country watching it live stream, and it's the way he's affected their lives and the bravery of even doing the tour. I mean, he had already been diagnosed incurable. He had already gone through a major brain surgery such that he lost a lot of his memory. So he's working off teleprompters because he couldn't remember lyrics. They were worried that he was going to have a seizure on stage. I mean, he was really on the edge. He was within, you know, at that point, within months. What was so touching and insane to watch was seeing this tour and everybody in there and everybody watching, millions of people on the last show, but thousands in each stadium show, knew he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die. That's a weird thing. We don't usually have we find out somebody's dying and sort of we don't see them publicly most of the time. It's like, oh, they're, you know, they're sick and they're dying. But he continued to work, and he wanted to do this tour, and he's out there, and he's still putting this into people's lives. And it was so touching. He would stand and sort of make eye contact with as many people that he could in the crowd as a way of just, in a way, connecting on the very way that is, in a way, being lost in our world, especially in the United States, but I'm sure everywhere. But that connection, that physical on stage or on the ground connection with people, to acknowledge physicalness, existence, another person acknowledging you back and forth, and all the beauty that comes with that. It's it was all wrapped up in that. It made me sad watching it. And so I'm going to do a couple things. One is I'm going to recommend a song that I wish I could play at the end of this episode, but I can't because I don't have the legal whatever. It's called Far Away and Blurred. It's like a track way down on his last album. It's a double album, but just please buy that song and just, or whatever. Yeah, buy it, because buy it. And then Far Away and Blurred. It's it's quite sad when you realize that he was dying and obviously knew it. This album was released like 10 days after he died. It was like not even finished yet. Far Away and Blurred. I bring these things up because I try to share the things that I'm going through, the struggles that I am dealing with and battling day to day in my own life and my own work, and trying to make a difference in a way that helps people, but also that helps me be a better father and husband and friend and family member, and the struggles of keeping myself strong and vibrant, and at the same time understanding that because of the stress in my life at a moment's notice, that can all change very quickly and often does. And that I think it's a better response to not say, well, screw it. If I'm going to drop dead tomorrow, screw it. I think the better response is to say, yeah, I could drop dead tomorrow. And so I'm going to take control where I can, and I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to continue putting work into the world to the very last minute because I can. Do I have to? No. But can I? Yes. And that's got to be enough sometimes. That's just got to be enough. It's got to be enough for us to continue making the world as positive a place as possible, and at the same time knowing that one person can't really make that much of a difference. Most people, I mean, Gordon Downie is an exception. He touched millions of people. I don't, and may never. But there's things that we can all do, and I think that it's a powerful place to do that when you can, and that's enough. It doesn't have to be, but why? Why would you? Why could? Can you? Then do that. And I think as far as I can figure, and I think that part of it was coming up on this documentary and listening to the song like 1,000 times, Far Away and Blurred, 1,000 times. Watching this man literally dying, you know, like imminent, talking about the things that actually matter, you know, and the trick that I have in my practice and working with people is to, and my own life, to build in moments where we don't just come up on that in the face of death, but we come up on that in the face of life and health, that we steal these moments to remember what really matters more often than not. It's, I think, what keeps us mostly human and mostly good is to remember as much as we can what really does matter, the family and friends in our lives, these kinds of experiences, the things that I'm saddened to see slip away for many people in the face of social media and the digital age, forgetting or not getting enough of these moments to remember the things that actually do matter. And it's something so trite and probably something that people mostly understand, but day to day, we're not remembering it often enough. We're not remembering it just for that second in the morning and just for that minute in the evening. We're swept into the madness of life, and we're working and we're raising kids, and we oftentimes get lost in that madness. As far as I can figure, the only way to continue on in the face of death, I look at this guy and I'm like, that's heroic. He wasn't doing it for the money. he was on his way out. He was doing it because I'm totally projecting my own thing on this, but I would like to think that he was doing it because he understood the physical connection. He understood the connection between him and the band and the fans and the people of Canada and what a difference they made to him and he made to them. And he wanted to wring every last drop out of that relationship to the very, very end. And so my takeaway was that the only way to continue on in the face of death, and I think for most of us, if not all of us, to continue on with an existential fear of death, is simply to live more.
breath.
With a snap of your withering hands, we'll send us spinning. We'll break us apart, it will. We'll send us spinning.
And still we hope
as if the hope makes us still. As if a glance ahead that will save us how we are blind.
We might as well.